Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry, I was double muted. Hi, this is Mark in Arizona.
Hey, Mark.
Hi.
What are you seeing? What's going on?
Well, I have to say two things. One, I'm really enjoying the email class and actually keeping up with it, which is unusual for me. Thank you very much. And the new focus is, like, very exciting to me because my experience of Zen is that it doesn't include dancing and singing and celebratory activities. I hope that's responsive.
Well, I don't know what kind of Zen you've been experiencing, but it might be those same people, Mark, who use Zen to describe computer parts and tea and say to me things like, you know, well, I'm just going to go Zen on it. It might be those same things.
Well, I have to admit that I came to this practice from a West African practice, which we had been doing for 20-some-odd years, where every gathering was dancing and singing. That was fundamental to the practice. And so that's not it. Yes, I get it. I get it. I know about sitting in the grass and looking in the grass and going, oh, my God, this is amazing. I get that. So I hope that's responsive.
Mm-hmm. All right. So where are we now?
Well, we're in both places. I'm invited, I believe, to sing and dance, and so I will do that. And I expect I'll be singing.
Well,
and dancing.
Mark, if you want to.
Yeah.
If you're internally guided to.
Yeah.
Not because there's a right or a wrong way to do things, but simply if that's what is in the moment, then that's what we respond to.
Amen. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you loud and clear. I really do. Yeah. And I'm comforted and maybe even delighted by the possibility that there are many other folks in the Sangha who might be moved at a similar time or not to celebrate like that as well.
Okay. and we would have what?
We would be having a kind of worldwide party, I think.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay.
You know, conditioning really cranked on me about not making this call.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to make the call. I mean, and
yeah,
I am, yeah, because it is, I mean, as you know, I'm devoted to playing and practicing music every day, and I do it from a place that is not intellectual, so it's probably less dual than most of the time that I'm walking around, mm-hmm. And that is totally celebratory for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part
right. Well, just because, you know, I can't, it's my job description. It's what you're describing is not about music. It's about presence.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because, as you say, you could be sitting in the grass And if you're if there's no you separate from that, then it's the same experience, which is my point about all of the dualistic places people try to get into with anything, them right. not being excluded, that it's the absence of all of that that we're pointing toward. You know, it's not about flower arranging or drinking tea or any of the other things that are associated in people's minds, the cultural kinds of things that are associated in people's minds with Zen. What all of those things are attempting to point at is presence.
Right?
Yeah. So whether it's music or swords or tea or flowers or whatever else, it's presence. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, you said to me recently, not on this show, but in another venue, you know, it's not about tasting the sugar. It's about being the sugar. If I get that right, that's how I understood it.
And well, I would say dissolving into, or the sugar being what you think of as you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is constantly celebratory.
Oh, yes. Although we tend to celebrate it a little, in quotes, after the fact. Because we come back to being somebody who is going to celebrate. Otherwise, we just, you know, just one of those people who walks around grinning all the time. People wonder what's wrong with them.
And I notice that, I know, actually, that when I'm playing music, because I've been doing it for almost my entire life, I actually am very, very present. I'm contemplating as I get to it, if this is a point where the trumpet requires that I give a slightly different piece of air to it, and as well as the feeling of the piece and what it is that it's calling for, and so forth and so on. And those moments are, my blood pressure goes down, my oxygen levels go up, I come away from it very peaceful. I mean, the effect, the downstream effect of that is physically significant.
Yes, and before I let you go, I will underline that is a big part of the why we are so encouraging of people practicing.
Yeah.
Because it is not something that we get. We're not going to understand it, have a moment of enlightenment, and that's that. Right? We could say a place we go regularly, a dropping of the illusion of being separate from life, or all kinds of ways people attempt to describe what cannot be described.
Right. Yeah. Which I just one last thing. I have a Krishnamurti quote, which I probably will terribly butcher, but he talks about sitting meditation as blowing apart mind thought.
Yes. We will often talk about that as the space between.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Cool. Cool. That's a nice tip on that. Well, thank you much.
Nice catch. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Go happy.
Yeah, you bet. Okay. Take care.
Thanks, Mark. It's a good transition from the last day of the retreat to the focus, right, Cherry? That celebration is the unconditional. Is greeting the unconditional, and it's an attitude of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to go along with what Mark was pointing at, it's the practice of not attempting to drag me into the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The practice of not dragging me into the situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could phrase that a me.
Amy into this.
More accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, like, this has to be fun, so now I'm trying to make it fun. It's not the attitude of celebration we're going for. It's that spontaneous being here from which the joy arises.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, or even if we're going to parse words this morning, where we realize that joy is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Liesl calling from New Hampshire.
Well, hello, Liesl.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I am expressing appreciation for the practitioner by getting myself in the queue and getting to celebrate by being in community with Sangha.
Well, that is an excellent point because what we can fall for in a lot of our lives is not that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That our lives are devoted to what we think is me, doing what I want to do or feel I should do or all of those kinds of things. And what you're pointing at is just dropping all of that and being grateful for the life that actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a real, I've been experiencing lately a real sense of very deep gratitude for this Sangha. I normally have a really strong yoga practice and yoga community, and we haven't been able to really gather normally. So this has really, you know, kind of come to the forefront as being my main community in some ways. And it's amazing, even though I don't know really any of these people, like you hear their voices or their names, and there is this sense of joy, like, oh, it's so-and-so, and how wonderful to hear from them. And it's just such a delight to be part of.
Well, Liesl, yes, I thank you for saying that, because That's really such an underlying feature of this practice, the privileged environment, right? Very big deal with us, where we realize how unnecessary personality is.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
All we ever get from one another is heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just practice together. And so the very best of us, if we can say it that way, if nobody hears that as judgmental, the very best of us is what we share.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have habits that I don't approve of, I don't ever have to concern myself with those.
Right. Yeah.
If you say something that I think is off the mark, well, I'll never hear that. I don't have to be so there's nothing feeding ego in it, right? Which is what we increasingly treasure.
Yeah, and that ties in really beautifully to sort of like where I ended up with this whole focus of acceptance, which was is probably the most challenging one thus far for me. Clearly lots of karma there. But yeah, coming to this place of, right, that shared humanity, the shared, like, authentic goodness that is each one of us, no matter what we see on the outside, and the acknowledgement of, I guess what it came down for me was accepting the existence of ego in myself and in others, and noticing how that affects our interactions. And it brings me to a place of compassion, which is sometimes like it almost feels sad, and ego wants to say, oh, you know, being in that place just makes you feel sad. But it's not sadness. I don't even know how to describe it, which I think is good.
Yes, I agree with you. And sometimes we'll hear people refer to that as having the heart broken open. Because we just see the human condition. We see how we all struggle. We all suffer. We are all unfortunate way more often than we wish we were.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's
well, thank you.
It's a beautiful place to be. Yeah, thank you.
It is.
Thanks,
thank
everybody.
You for listening to that impulse to get with everybody to put your voice into the celebration, into the song, and because it's really, it's just critical. It's everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's really a special aspect of our practice. And thanks, everybody.
All right. Go happy. Go happy.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks, Liesl. I just love that image, right, Sherry? The heart being broken open, which so accurately describes the ability to see what's going on, that we are, that we're all conditioned, and that we all behave from in unfortunate ways when we're identified with ego, and that's not all of what of who we are. And that acceptance
that's not even who we are, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, and that place of somehow or the other in practice, I think we say it in this way, right, that the spiritual practice begins when the beatings stop, and that in some way is an acceptance of identification is inherently an aspect of waking up.
Yes, yes. It's what inspires us, right? The more we pay attention, the more we realize, oh, that's what that, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Somebody in the email class is talking regularly about the practice of feeding the good wolf, which I don't even know where that came from. I don't even know what book that's in. What book is that in, this morning? Anyway.
Well, actually, we did it in a recording and listening class.
Ah, okay. And so, yeah, that very famous old Native American story, right, of feeding the good wolf or the bad wolf, which is a choice we have moment by moment by moment. And as we look at that, as we see what we're feeding, we realize, ooh, I want to feed goodness. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous gift. It's not that I'm making a mistake because I hadn't seen that before. That's what's helping me see it now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's helping me see it now. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, let's try our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita in South Carolina.
Hello, Ramita. What you seeing?
Hello. Well, I'm seeing how conditioning really doesn't want me to go with appreciation, and when I set that aside and say, so what, I am really appreciating the practitioner's willingness to do cue practice and be in the year-long retreat to the very best of my ability. And it's amazing the results. It's amazing the gifts that I've gotten doing this.
Mm-hmm. And plus you're in the Forever Retreat, right?
Yes.
So that's a lot of hours every week that the practitioner is getting supported for doing, engaging in the ways that bring us to that place of appreciation, gratitude, happiness.
Yes. And it's interesting, as the show is getting started and the mention of the new focus, I realized that I had already made the switch to thinking that today was a day I was supposed to be celebrating the practitioner, you know, as the culmination of the last month, and questioning, I don't have any clue what that's like. So, you know, coming back to appreciation, and it sort of feels like celebration is another dimension of the same attitude of mind, and that there's, I'm in a place of not knowing, which I know is a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things we do know, in quotes, is that ego is negativity. It's no to life's yes, right? So whatever the weather say, you know, we look at the weather. The weather, we could say, if we don't fall for ego's dualistic assessments, the weather is always positive, right? It's always doing what it's doing wholeheartedly, as far as we can tell. That's certainly the way it seems, right? It's hot, it's hot. Mm-hmm. It's cold, it's cold. If it's windy, it's windy. If it's raining, it's raining, right? If it's a hurricane, it seems really excitable, right? And so we put all this stuff on it, but the reality is it's just alive, right? It's just expressing. It's just being. It's just being what it is, right? And then in comes ego to say, well, yeah, but I don't like that. I don't like this weather. You know, I don't, and boy, do I know this one. I don't like it. I don't enjoy this. I don't want to. Okay, all right. But we can see ego's negativity in that applied everywhere. So what am I eating? Well, you know, I don't really like that. What am I wearing? Well, I don't really like that. Well, how about my body? Well, I don't really like that. Well, how about them? Well, you know, there's so much about them that I really don't like. Right? And we can see and feel that negativity that we have to identify with ego bring to the situation, because it's not there if we don't bring it.
Yes.
So when my I can't say my favorite birds because I have so many birds here that are also my favorite birds, but you know the bird I mean. When that bird sings, when that bird sings, there is the joy that we feel in that bird singing. Because we tend not to bring that negativity to certain situations. So now in practice, we have a chance to bring that same orientation to every moment of life. We don't have to add the negativity to anything.
Yeah. yes, no comparison, no improvement on the moment, nothing other than...
No judgment of... Right, yeah, no judgment of the and human being, no judgment... Yeah.
Yeah. Not even an I to say I accept this or I celebrate.
That's right.
Just I'm being with what's going on.
Yes.
I'm part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not separate. And when we're not separate, we realize life is celebrating second by second by second by second.
Yeah. And then just, again, back to the appreciation for the grace, the willingness, the years of practice that I am going up against the negativity of the conversation in the head and putting myself in the queue, doing the exercises, participating in the retreats, and having a greater sense of patience for the process of waking up, that I don't know what it's supposed to look like or where I'm supposed to go or what it's going to feel like. What it feels like, because when it happens, I'm not here.
That's right. Because if I just stop adding anything, if I just use all these senses I've been gifted with for presence, all is well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
thank
you keep
you,
having
Sherry.
Fun. Thank you, Renita.
You too.
All right.
Thanks, Ramita. That particular line about the weather is always the weather wholeheartedly is such a wonderful image of just being fully alive. It is celebration, right, Sherry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that we're not anything.
I mean, as far as we can tell, it certainly looks that way.
Yes.
It feels that way. It's when that bird sings.
Yeah,
it's hard to project anything other than wholehearted participation.
Being.
Nothing left over. Being.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura in San Diego.
Hello, Laura. What's going on?
All right, so I saw this really fun process around when I saw that it was this day and there was celebration, right? There was this conversation around the negative, right? I didn't, all of that stuff. And I almost fell for it and kind of just carried on. And life was there. And so I just picked up the recorder and I said, okay, let's just focus on what, like, let's just sit for a moment and look at what awarenesses did come to me this month. What did I practice with? And it was one of those places where it sounds so simple. Practice talks about it all the time. But I had the experience because I'm right in the middle of a karmic, like, storm right now, that I'm in awareness around it. I'm still in it, but I'm not as identified as I normally am. And so I had this experience of actually shifting the attention while in this storm and saw the possibility and saw and had the experience of that shift. And it was really powerful.
Well, you bring tears to my eyes. Yes, because I don't know if you connected up that with the thing that I say with some regularity. That's the most powerful place we can be in practice, right? It's going on. You're in the storm. There's no denying it's going on, but you're not completely identified with it. You are in awareness enough. You're not stopping it. It's going right on.
Right.
And you're aware of every aspect of it. And that's the place that enables us to feel and see, to know compassion for the human being who is trapped in that. You're not identified with that human being. You're not taking her personally, right? Which you would do if you were identified with ego. You can really see. You can see her struggles. You can see how hard she tries. You can see how she's suffering. You can see how it's not her fault.
Yep. And it's been really, I'm going to use the word fun. And previous to this experience in practice, this has not been fun because I've been so identified with Vicky, right?
Yeah.
But there was, I was in it this morning and I'm using the recorder in a way that I haven't been allowed to use it in the past, of really allowing this person to talk about her experience and hear her rather than just bypassing it and going to the superficial practice, because and again, it's not 100%, but I don't need 100%. All I need is just whatever degree I've got right now.
That's right. And what I project onto where you are right now is a courage and an excitement that hasn't been there, right? Because what you've seen in this experience is that you are not that person who is trapped. You, in quotes, are the awareness that can be aware of all of this. And that awareness is our freedom, right? So now you want to pick up that recorder the next time somebody gets really upset. Because you want them to be able to talk. You want to be in that relationship with that person who is suffering, because you know you can help them in suffering. Did I fall off the earth?
No, I was talking. I just admitted myself. I do that double muting thing sometimes. When you were talking, what I was noticing is that the voices were right there saying, well, Sherry, you're a little bit more excited about it than I am. And I'm like, oh, there it is again. That's what, ego attempting
that's
to
it.
Rob this human of, like, actually that is there.
Yes. And you know, the thing that is so exciting for me about this, and I don't know, maybe I am more excited than you are, but you're going to catch up with me. momentarily, okay, that being in that position that you're describing right now, we can see how irrelevant ego is. We don't have to be afraid of it. It's not powerful. It's just there saying negative things on the sidelines. It is not a force to be reckoned with. It is pathetic. And so there are, you know, three components to this thing that we're looking at this morning. There's that human being who's trapped in that karma. There's the awareness that can see it. And over on the sidelines, this negative voice saying, well, yeah, but, well, yeah, well, yeah, but, yeah, but. And, you know, we don't have to hate it. We don't have to try to kill it. We don't have to do anything. It's just irrelevant to the relationship that you now know is available to you.
Wow. Thank you for saying all of that, because that's, thank you. I can't wait to listen to this again. So thank you.
So excited. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, and we start a focus today. Our assignment, the focus is celebration. It's our last session of the year-long retreat, and our assignment is to read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see how you would like to work with the process focus this month. Jot that down. Example, celebration is not something I do. I come from a family that is big on holidays and birthdays and anniversaries, and yet that orientation of marking the occasion isn't mine.
Mm-hmm. As an example, I bet however many people are in this, all of us together, we each have our own unique take on this, don't we? Our own unique whatever it is that that we're going to explore.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank
Very
you,
good.
Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.